Welcome to the Lemon Spark Podcast, where we share stories about lemons that spark a new direction in life. I'm your host, Barbara Zabala. Welcome, Craig Nelson, to the Lemon Spark Podcast. Thank you so much for being the first podcast guest for 2024. And I'm really excited to talk to you because you're actually an old friend and you have your Lemon Spark story to share. I met you when we worked at an insurance company years ago together. And you are now the proud author of Seasons on Ice, The Birth of Wisconsin Badgers Hockey. And I can't wait to hear about your Lemon Spark story. So thank you, Craig, for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, so the drill is we talk about what was the lemon that sparked the new book that came out this year, Seasons on Ice. So tell us how that happened.
Yeah, it was one of those situations like so many other people are running into where the health insurance company we worked at was in the midst of a hostile takeover. And with any situation like that, they were removing veteran staff and bringing in staff that they wanted behind that. And it just so happened that several of my attorney friends were removed from the company under very illegitimate circumstances, I'll say. And it soon became apparent that they were also looking to terminate my employment. And I came home and I talked to my wife because I'd been there 23 years by that point. And I said, they're looking to set me up like they did with my attorney friends. And I said, I'm not sure what to do. And she simply said, resign. And I said, well, gosh, I hadn't even thought of that. And then I said, okay, well, that's something I guess I can wrap my head around, but what would I do next? And she simply said, it's easy, write the book you've always wanted to write. And I just looked at her and I was like, that's brilliant. You know, and I got another reason why I married her. She's so smart. So it just happened to be the catalyst for me to dive into this book that I've always wanted to write. And the backstory with that was when I was a young guy in the late 70s, I would go to the Wisconsin Badger hockey games with my parents. And on the cover of the programs for just the alumni games, they would show an old photo of a player from the 1920s or 30s. And I could never find any information about those teams or other than a schedule and a list of coaches. And it always stuck with me like, gosh, what is that story? And I'm not an overly curious person by nature, but it was just something that really stuck with me. And so I wanted to dive in and figure out what was that story.
And you did. You found out what the story was and you wrote it in this book.
Yes. Yes. I thought to myself, well, if the story's not been captured, then it's kind of my responsibility to put it together. And the reason I took it as a responsibility is I grew up playing youth hockey from a very young age up until the beer leagues. And one of my youth coaches always told us at some point in your life, give back to the sport of hockey. And that resonated with me. So I wanted to give back at some point. I just didn't know how I was going to do that. You know, I had served on various hockey boards, raising funds for kids that were disadvantaged to play hockey or for hockey rinks that needed expensive repairs. And then this book just kind of fell together where I just started putting together the framework. And I didn't know it was going to be just on the initial era of the 1890s to 1935. But once I started digging in, I was able to piece together history. And I just figured if I just did the framework for each year, let's see how much I could fill in. And then it was almost like a puzzle where I challenged myself, get at every bit of information to fill it in. And some of the chapters, you know, like a certain season would take months and months to actually fill in all the missing pieces.
Yeah. You said it took you 5 years just to do the research for
yes.
This book.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in the University of Wisconsin archives and I was finding stuff that they didn't even know they had. And, you know, if you think about it, was a university archive system, they've got so many pieces that they wouldn't know what everything was. But I even found a box of old glass slides and requested that they digitize them for me. And they did. And we both were enjoying looking at these photos that hadn't been seen in over 100 years. And it just so happened to be the Wisconsin Badgers having a practice on Lake Wingra Lagoon. So for those of you familiar with Madison, Wisconsin, it's right next to what is now the Henry Vilas Zoo.
Wow. So they practiced on Lake Wingra?
They did at times, you know. So when they first started in the early 1900s as a club teams, they were practicing on Lake Mendota. Well, you can imagine how that was depending on what the weather was like, but they had a full warming house out there, probably like an oversized ice shanty, as some people be used to now. But they would skate on Lake Mendota. And then in the late 1919s, 1920s, the Wisconsin board decided to build a rink on the lower campus, which is right next to Library Mall across from the Red Gym.
Oh, okay. Which isn't there anymore.
And so at times the weather wouldn't allow skating to be on that surface. So Wingra Lagoon being a smaller skating surface, it took longer, to melt that, I guess, is what was going on. So they were able to have practice there. And what was also of interest, I found there was a few times when the coach said, "We don't have any ice anywhere, but we have a big game coming up. So let's put on roller skates. We're going to go over to the Red Gym and we're going to skate around in roller skates and replicate a hockey game." So they were doing dry land training before it became popular in the 60s and 70s with the rest of the nation.
So after you were done with all the research, which took you like 5 years, then you started writing. And this is your first book.
It is.
Yes. So, and it how many pages did you end up writing?
It ended up being 358 pages.
Wow. And it's published and it's out for people to buy. And so at the end, we'll make sure we provide the links of where people can purchase this book. But one question I wanted to ask is, you had this unexpected job loss that then propelled you to write the book. Do you think if you hadn't lost your job, you would have written the book?
You know, that's a really tough question. And it's hard to say because it took a moment like that where you've encountered them. I think we all have, where you come to a fork in the road and it's like, which path are you going to take? And I was forced to go down a path that was uncomfortable, not one I had chosen. And I just kind of rolled up my sleeves and said, let's do this.
And if you could go back in time and change the course and taken a different path, would you have, or are you happy with the course that you took?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty happy with it, and I'm one of those people that believe things happen for a reason anyways in our lives. I think one thing I would have done is to start it earlier. I talked to these other writers and they say, gosh, I can't see doing a book. It seems like such a big mountain to climb. And my advice to them is just start writing. Even if it's literally 10 minutes a day, write 10 minutes a day, because at the end of 30 days, you're going to have some great content. And at the end of several months, you're going to have a whole bunch of content you'll be able to trim back and build upon. And it's going to be the framework for something wonderful.
So, yeah. So anyone who might be thinking about writing their own book, your advice is to just start writing, even
just
if
start.
It's 10 minutes a day.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, is really starting. And even if it's just notes to yourself, because one of the things I was doing was at work, I'd be jotting down notes. So I'd email myself these notes, or I'd stumble across some photos that sparked some other ideas of how I wanted to go with my research, or to follow up and figure out other pieces of the puzzle. So I'd email myself the images or the photos or the ideas I had. And then I'd have time on the weekends or night to compile all that and build on that. And it just really starts almost like a snowball effect.
Yeah, I found that with my writing too. It's just, you have to dedicate a certain time of day and a certain time period to just write if you're going to actually accomplish it. So for me, it's like in the wee, wee hours of the morning. That's when I feel like I can focus and get stuff on paper, if you will. So yeah. Did you have a certain time of day that worked best for you?
Yeah, it's interesting. What I found out was that my best productivity was the mornings. So I could do a lot in the mornings, and then found that middle of the day and the end of the day, I was just mentally fatigued with real life stuff going on, and or from the writings or this project. And it just wasn't ideal time to do it. You could do some constructive editing, but as far as creative writing, the mornings were the best time for me. And there was also times when you're not going to feel like you can write, times when you just don't want to. And my advice is, don't come back to it. Don't make it so painful and something you hate.
Yeah.
Make sure it's something you enjoy. So if you got to let it sit for a day or a week or two, do that. But most importantly, come back to it.
Yeah. It's kind of like exercise.
It really is. really is.
So for those who might be going through their own lemon right now, say they're, in an very toxic work environment and fear that their job might be on the line, what advice would you give them?
Well, I would say, one thing I wish I would have wrapped my head around earlier is don't stand somewhere where you're not appreciated, because we all have certain gifts and talents that deserve to be respected and appreciated. And if it's not happening in your current workplace, make an escape plan. Find out, talk to, network, talk to other people where you can go. There's ways you can do that without jeopardizing your job. And when you find, hopefully you've got a safety net. And if not, take the jump, because when one door closes, another opens up. As cliche as it is so true. You don't know until you're faced with adversity, but if you can do it on your own accord and get out, then do it. And if you're forced out, it's going to be okay. Just start looking at things differently and realize that the things happen for a reason, and the sun's going to come up tomorrow.
That's great advice. Yeah, I mean, I have similar experience. If you can take back the power, if you feel like you are going to be eliminated, your position's going to be eliminated, it's your company's downsizing, and you see that writing on the wall, if you can take back that power and have an escape plan, as you said, your stress level will go down quite a bit.
And one of the best pieces of advice I'd like to share that I got, because you go through a range of emotions when you feel like your job's being eliminated, or that they're looking to terminate you as an employee. You go through a whole cycle of emotions, and you're like, you go from angry to sad to confused to hurt. And a senior friend of mine, a senior employee, told me it's business. There's phenomenal people that get fired. Businesses have to make business decisions, right or wrong. So don't take it personally, but use it as an opportunity to find a new chapter, to find the next you.
Well, I think that's perfect to kind of wrap up this Lemon Spark story. But before we say goodbye, let's make sure we find out how we can get copies of your book, Seasons on Ice: The Birth of Wisconsin Badgers Hockey.
Absolutely. If you go to gobigredhockey.com, you'll see a pretty robust website that gives you some background on what the book's about. There's some testimonials, some classic photos, and it'll give you the link to order your copy. And I will send out a signed copy to everybody that orders one. Gobigredhockey.com.
All right, and I'll make sure I put that link in the comments. So thank you so much, Craig. It was such a pleasure catching up with you, and I'm so happy about your book. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Great seeing you, and thank you for doing this. It's going to help out a lot of people.
Thank you for listening to the Lemon Spark podcast. If you have a Lemon Spark story to share or know someone who does, please message us on Facebook and be sure to like our page. And remember, it's not the lemon that defines you, it's the spark.